Off the Ball Daily,
a home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Mick McCarthy.
What?
Here we go. I'm typing on my Google Doc saying Morata is right. I didn't think he played in the Prem. Yes.
The point's been declared.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Football on Off the Ball
with William Hill. Who you got? 18 plus. See gamblingcare.ie.
Hannah, nice to talk to you. Big day. The launch of the Women and Girls Football Action Plan. Can you talk us through what, 10 months into the job, your priorities are?
Yes, well, obviously, that's now we've launched the action plan. So we've got three key areas. So the first one about keeping teenage girls playing football. So it's that retention of girls. So we get, girls are starting to play, start to love the game. But we've seen, across all sports, there's a dropout in the teenage years. So we want to try and address that. Because as much as we grow the game, if we grow it by 30%, but we're having 20% dropout, then we're not growing the game. We want to develop coaches. So we want to try and get a woman on the football committee at every club, which is supporting alongside the coach education pathway to provide, coaches with a support network to be able to develop into those roles. And in the sort of elite and international space, we really want to provide specific environments for female athletes and really look at the challenges that our female athletes face and how we can better support them and develop our pathway specifically for them.
It's in around a year since the bigger pathways plan was released, and that came off the back of what we're told was a very long and extensive consultation period. This reads like we're about to go through another extensive consultation period. Is that fair to say?
Not really. I think the consultation period, for the Football Pathways Plan was asking all areas of the game. This is about hearing the voice of our women in the game. So hearing the voices of our teenagers around why they're not playing and why their friends aren't playing and why they're dropping out. Starting to hear the experiences of female coaches who go in environments and maybe don't feel supported and drop out. And similarly, finding out the experiences of some of our players on the pathway and how we can better support them. So I would say less about consultation, more about empowering.
Right. Because the reason I say that is I think a lot of people would have expected by the time this action plan came out, which has been highly anticipated by people who are invested in the women's game, that those type of conversations would have already happened before this plan was released. And actually, this will be the next step.
Yeah, I think about a consultation process, usually asking them once. This is about having lasting relationships, so there's continual dialogue and continued support, not just an initial consultation. We need to hear those voices more loudly in all our decision-making processes, and we need to do that more regularly. And we only do that by, as I say, empowering our women and girls to have that voice and providing platforms. So that actually informs everything that we do. Because, as I said, women's and girls, although it's in my job title, is everyone's job in the association. We need to hear those voices across the association in all aspects. But, yeah, it's really important that we empower those girls so that we can hear their voices.
Do you feel that is happening within the association in your 10 months, that there is that level of equality when people are talking about funding, about the various different factors in the overall pathways plan, of which this is just one part of that? Obviously, the dominant conversation has been around an aligned calendar for the last 12 months. Are they conversations you're involved in as well around the women's game?
Yes, they can't get rid of me. I am in a lot of conversations now. It's fantastic. So this is what we're going to drive, this integrated approach to things. So, you'd be in a meeting in the morning with the League of Ireland and the league and how to develop, women's and girls within that space. We have meetings with grassroots. And as I say, the development there, the coach education and development department, as well as our sort of pathways and elite. So it's a very, very varied role.
Yeah.
And I would say that, my experience, with 10 months in the job is everyone's bought in and everybody wants to help. Sometimes there's a kick and a nudge to, well, what about, have you remembered this? What about this? But generally, is everybody bought in to really push and drive the game? So I think there's a really sort of a want and need to go and do that within the association.
This is an initial 2-year plan. What are the specific things in 2 years' time we'll be able to sit down here and you'll be able to point to a difference in women and girls football in Ireland?
Yeah, so we'll have more girls, teenage girls playing through providing recreational spaces for that.
How do you do that?
So we train the young leaders to deliver that for us. So again, if we say the FAI are going to deliver everything with development officers, etc., etc., there's a limited human resource. So we're going to empower and train young leaders who are going to work with their local clubs to deliver recreational football for girls. And that
what do you mean
by
recreational football?
So not a team in a league.
Okay.
So you can rock up and play, you know, on a Tuesday night for an hour, you know, or whatever you want to be. Mm. Now that might, again, we need to speak to the girls and what they want. And that might be different in different, you know, groups and different communities. You might want different things, you know, and have, so some might want to play games. So there may be competition in it, but there's no need that every Saturday morning there's a game, because that level of commitment is sometimes a barrier. And that level of competition, you know, I'm not getting selected, or my friend isn't in the team, and so I don't want to play, is also a barrier. So we will have those spaces that will encourage more teenagers to be playing and be physically active, because we know the holistic impact that playing sport, and obviously in our case football, has, you know, on their self-esteem, on their, you know, social circles. So that would be one thing that I sit here in 2 years' time, you know, I'm confident and can say we'll be doing.
Where do you find those leaders?
They're already out there in clubs.
Okay.
So, we, as I say, there's so much good work going on. And once you start, they will come, because we will have an aspirational program that girls want to get involved with. You know, we're going to train them. We're going to really get them to buy in. And then the leadership training, don't want to give too much away, but it shouldn't be too, is best in class. So we want to, we're not going to sit them in front of a screen and tell them this is how you lead,
okay,
because that's not, you know, how our leadership programs are looking. You know, you need to say this or do this or act like this, because that's not actually helping anybody be a better leader.
Mm.
We're going to do a sort of experiential learning environment for them, where they're actually going to have areas where they can lead and learn, and in a supportive environment, so that they actually come away, you know, feeling more confident and capable to go back to their clubs. And as I say, promote girls' football within their own communities.
Is the funding in place for that?
Yes. So again, a lot of our objectives align with the Women in Sport policy for Sport Ireland. So participation and retention. So obviously, Her Moves is a big initiative around teenage girls' participation. Coaching and pathways is another key pillar of the Women in Sport policy. So we have Sport Ireland grants and support, as well as associations support to be able to develop those programs. So these have been fully costed for both financial and human resource.
By the time this plan comes to an end, it'll be what, 4 years since the World Cup, and obviously all of the talk out of that was legacy and capitalizing on the interest. Again, going back to that conversation that's going to happen with all the different parts of the game, is there a sense that actually there's going to be an extra 2 years? You spoke in there about foundations at the launch. You know, you need to make the foundations more solid. Does it need to be an acceptance then actually that there's going to be another couple of years before you get down to the actual nitty gritty of development squads, of the elite side of the game, of academies, like that those foundations aren't in place yet?
As I say, so we can't look at this action plan in isolation. Mm. You have to look at that in the context of the Football Pathways Plan. So obviously there's a development programme for 13 to 18 year olds, which is for boys and girls, Academy Mark, and Academy Development, which is for boys and girls. So there's lots of other work that is going on. So it's not to say that, you know, all the game are just looking at this 2 years strengthening the foundations. You know, the FAI has lots of other different pieces or strands of work, but this action plan, as I say, is around strengthening foundations. And as I say, those conversations are actually, as I say, empowering and hearing the voices of girls, and constant dialogue and constant support. Because, you know, as we know, you know, historically, decisions have been made around, you know, girls and women's and girls' football, around children's football, by people who are not women and girls, and who are not young people. So we think it's the right thing to do to be, you know, having that consultating and empowering them to make those decisions.
And I know in that greater plan that there is a lot of, as you mentioned, various parts that affect the women's game. In that, I just think a lot of players, say between the ages of 17 and 20, were maybe looking to this document as something that would provide answers in terms of their development in those sort of crucial years. And we've seen the start of a development squad over the last few weeks. It feels as though there's nothing necessarily concrete for that crucial age group at the moment, between 17 and 21, within this.
Well, we're going to be reviewing the pathway.
Yeah.
Because what's important is that we do it, if we do it, we do it right. Obviously, we've had home-based sessions, you know, we've had them, they no longer run. We've, nations have 23s, UEFA are actually looking to change that to 21s. So there's lots of things that's going on in the ecosystem that we need to get feedback from, get information from, to tap into, to be able to make sure that whatever we do the right thing for Irish football in our context.
Yeah.
And, you know...
what are your thoughts on home-based sessions? Because again, if there's a consultation period, if you're a 17 or 18 year old, a talented 17, 18 year old, consultation period, like that's two more years waiting for an answer.
Yeah, as I say, it's not like that's the only thing that's going on. You've said yourself that the development squads is, you know, we started it in the last window and there'll be something else in the next window and there'll be development on that. So it's not like we're ignoring that space. The league is growing and developing and there is a lot of talent in the league. So there's just, we have to make sure that we're doing the right things, you know, because towards the end of the programme, you know, we need to feedback from that home-based sessions, what was good, what could have been better, you know, how can we adapt, how can we change, how can we make sure that what we put on next is right and we're not pulling that within X amount of years because we know we've done it and we know it's going to make a difference and we're, you know, doing the right thing for Irish football.
Particularly at the senior level and using... getting feedback from past and present senior and underage international players. It does feel like we've had about three reviews of senior players, obviously through the various different campaigns from Vera Powell through to Eileen Gleeson. Has that work not been done in terms of what the current senior players would like?
Yeah, I think, as I say, firstly, I think those reviews are slightly different. And actually some of the questions we'd be asking the seniors would be probably about their experiences going through the pathway. And I know I've been using this word a lot, but we really want to, you know, empower those younger girls who've got on the pathway as well to hear their voices and players who maybe aren't on the pathway anymore because you get honest feedback from players that maybe aren't involved in that pathway, you know, who might come out and say, well, there was a gap or, you know, I didn't enjoy this or I didn't think I'd get that support or whatever it is. But we need to, you know, actually go in and, as I say, empower them, ask them, get their feedback and use that to inform. And once we have that feedback, it doesn't necessarily mean we're going to do everything that they say. We have to triangulate that, you know, with feedback from coaches, you know, what other nations are doing, how that fits with clubs and leagues, and everything has to be to make sure that we're going in that right direction and doing the right things. And we're not just talking about teams. We're talking about, you know, how our camps are structured, what type of activities we put on, what sports science support they get, you know, a lot of different issues rather than, you know, I suppose just based around sort of team performance at a senior level.
So just again for clarity for those that are wondering around academy structures for underage girls, when will they find out about any potential changes to that, any further investment in academies for underage girls in terms of third tier or second tier for League of Ireland? When will it be more actual details on all of that?
Yeah, so all those things are being worked on. Obviously, they're part of the 11 actions from the Football Pathways Plan. So there's consultation now going on around the women's second tier. I was in a meeting this afternoon and we're now taking that to clubs and having another conversation around, you know, how that best looks and how we develop it. And that will have an impact on the academy structure because an extra senior team, you know, will draw probably more players maybe from the 19s league into a second senior tier, which will impact that. So again, as I say, the action plan isn't working in isolation. There's lots of things that are going on that will impact the overall ecosystem of women's and girls football in Ireland.
You mentioned other countries there. When you're looking around Europe, and we've maybe seen to our detriment over the last month, a lot of countries are making a lot of progress very quickly. In the 10 months that you've come in and you've looked at Irish football, and we're probably a world away from the English FA and what they've been able to do and achieve over recent decades, what are the glaring holes in Irish football? Where are the areas where we're at most risk of falling behind?
I've been told that this is a very Irish thing to always go to the negatives, but I would say that actually I think there's some real positives. So, you know, the League of Ireland and the sort of the age profile of players playing there, I don't think you get that in England as an example. Mm. So there's not the opportunities for a talented 17-year-old to play in senior football as much because they bring in so much sort of international talent. So the League of Ireland is like a showcase of our best talent in the country, and I've been really impressed with that and really enjoyed watching the league. So I think, as I say, our first go-to is sort of what's the holes, what's wrong, but actually let's think of what's good. So the league's really good.
What's the best path for one of those brilliant 17-year-olds in the League of Ireland?
I think it's individualised. I think it's best, what's best for one isn't best for another, and I think we've seen that over time. You know, you've seen Some players go to England and it doesn't work. Some players go to England and it works. Some people go to America. Some stay in the league, you know. So, you know, we obviously use Juliana as an example, you know, playing in the league. So they have to do what's right for them. And I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all answer to that question. But I think the League of Ireland is a fantastic tool for developing players. And, you know, there's some excellent talent in the league.
In terms of your overall role, how much interaction do you have with Carla Ward and the senior international team?
Yeah, Carla's been brilliant. Obviously, since she's come in, she's very open to working with other coaches in terms of coaches on the pathway. She's really open to our conversations around, you know, female-specific support for our players, which has been great. I know she's, again, spoken a lot to the League of Ireland managers and been out watching games, etc. So, yeah, she's been really, really good to work with, and I think she'll be really positive for the development of Irish football.
And were you involved in her recruitment?
I wasn't involved in her recruitment.
Okay, okay, because obviously a lot of people saw her on the Late Show on Friday night and were questioning the comments you made about being in the room with seven people and only Paddy Bonner asking questions around football.
Yeah, and I'm not putting words in anybody's mouth, but it's interesting that we all know that actually management at the top level, obviously football is important, but there's so many other aspects, you know, that, you know, dealing with the media, there is dealing with staff, there is, you know, planning, organisation. There's so many facets that I think becomes an excellent head coach. And we see that, you know, when we talk about managers in the Premier League or the WSL, you know, we you know, it's actually not the coaching or the football that often is the thing that maybe makes them succeed or not succeed. So, you know, it's probably valid to talk about other things as well as football.
Yeah. And finally, your relationship and your working relationship with Mark Cannon, what was his role in putting together this document?
Yeah, Mark's been a great support and again, a real driver in that integration and the fact that, you know, that we're all responsible for women's and girls. You know, he's a real advocate and a great support.